Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's another edition of Inside Lion Athletics. I'm Charlie Chitwood. We've got plenty to talk about. Conference play coming up in soccer, and we've got Ashley Gordon here to tell us a little bit about that. Coach, big game you had. How was the crowd here last week for OSU?
It was a big crowd. Our marketing department, I think, did a great job. We had a lot of students come out. We had obviously athletes that came out, and so our team was pretty pumped up and knew that, you know, we had a really good team coming in to play against. And so I think, you know, we're excited for the game.
You know, obviously when you're playing the Big 12, they're, you know, I hate to say it, on any given day, anybody beats anybody, but they're a little bit higher up than just the Southland, which is fine.
Right.
But there's so much you get out of playing up, and obviously it wasn't a paycheck because they came here.
Yes. No. Of course, we had a home and home series, mm-hmm. So we were excited to be able to host a Big 12 team coming to our place. But anyway, I mean, Charlie, you know, we ended up losing the game 5-1, but I want to talk about, you know, some players because we had some really great individual performances. And first of all, we were down 4-1 at half, but the shot count was really 11-8, and we had we had more corner kicks than they did, mm-hmm. in the first half. And so, you know, the tide had changed. I thought that they had a little bit more of the ball in the second half, but our team was unafraid. We came out with a chip on our shoulder. Our front line and our attackers were really good in that game. It was really good to see Ashley Campuzano get back into the lineup, and a little bit unconventional for her. She was playing as instead of an attacker. Mm-hmm. But you know, due to just her chemistry with Maya Mitchell, they were in sync. They played really well. And from Maya's standpoint, and obviously had a goal in the first half, they were a good tandem. But I thought it was one of Maya's best performances of the season. She was a threat. She caused problems. Ashley did a really good job of being able to hold the ball. And then, you know, in the midfield, I've been talking about Alana and Chris Schultz have been just steady in the midfield. I thought that they're playing really good both sides of the ball. I thought that they dealt with OSU. Mm-hmm. We had Hannibal that was playing in a wider position, and she gave OSU a lot of problems. I mean, you know, there were times in where it was 18-18, and we were getting in behind OSU's back line, and like I said, we were getting shots. You know, we need to continue to do a better job of getting shots on goal, but, you know, I thought that we were a threat. We're having really good performances from two of our freshmen that are clocking a lot of minutes. Kaylee Humble, mm-hmm. Who played right defender this past game, and then Kelsey Lefevre has just been steady, you know, every single game. And so, you know, she was playing left back. You know, from a goalkeeper standpoint, we had Veronica, who you've spoken to before, and mm-hmm. then Jill had a really good game, I thought, in the second half. Both had to be able to make saves. But when you look at the five goals that were scored on us, three of them were, one was a PK, two were from set pieces, and then two, you know, from the run of play. So, you know, if we can, if we're holding a Big 12 opponent to two goals through the run of play, I mean, mm-hmm. I think that is good. But at the end of the day, you know, for all these games going, you know, that we've been competing against in non-conference, we have to minimize set pieces. Can't give away corners, can't give away stupid fouls around the box, can't give away a PK, you know, just an opportunity. So, you know, and good teams punish you for it. So, but, you know, again, I thought we had some really good individual performances coming out of the OSU game that, you know, really I thought gave some kids some confidence. So, you know, we had a really good week of training. We mm-hmm. had 7 days off, which was very much needed.
Gosh, yeah.
So we can hit the reset button because, you know, we're heading into Southland Conference and
Lamar. Tomorrow night.
I know, tomorrow night. But
or tonight,
you know,
whenever they let this out.
It's tomorrow night. But, you know, we're heading into Southland. It's what we've talked about with our team is, you know, it's a restart button for everybody, and no one's won a game. No one's lost a game. You know, it's a whole second season, and we need to see, you know, our everything that we've been able to accomplish in non-conference, we need to build upon and we need to minimize, like I said, mistakes that have led to set pieces. But we're ready. We've had a really good week of training, Charlie.
Coach, you needed to get some people back, too. And are we 100%?
Not 100%, quite? But it was great to see May Ring get back into training this week. She took a knock against UT San Antonio, so we didn't have her for OSU. And, you know, and she's big, you know, 5'10", a lot of length, good in the air, can ball strike really well, good defender. We didn't have her for the OSU game. And so, you know, and Kaylee Humble stepped into the back line and did a fantastic job. Trinity Edgerton, we were able to get back this week. Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome because she has a lot of experience in our back line. And so being able to get her back has been great. And like I said, you know, having Ashley Composano back healthy and in the lineup has been wonderful.
Not quite the underdogs when you get everybody healthy, are you?
No. We always have a target on our back. You know, we have a target on our back when, you know, in 22, we're playing for, you know, a championship, obviously against Lamar. That year, Charlie, in 22, we had the toughest schedule of all the Southland Conference teams. And just to kind of, you know, talk about 22, in 2022, we had a play of all of us finishing first through fourth, okay, and that we had a play in the top four, all of those opponents three times. And so, you know, so we lost in the championship in that year. And then in 23, we went back to Lamar. We ended up tying last year. We lost. And so we're ready to win. This will be the first time also, Charlie, that we have played under the lights. We've never had a night game in Lamar. Every game that we have played at their place has been a Sunday, 1 o'clock, and 105 heat. I'm kind of happy to play
and
in the lights.
And at least as much humidity.
I know. But, you know, of course, it's more humid in Beaumont than it is up here. But anyway, we're ready to play. We've had a good week of training, so we're excited.
I know there's not a preseason ranking on the squad like there was for football by the conference. But, you know, there are other ways that people look in, and the RPI rankings is one. And lo and behold, we're going from underdog to one of the favorites.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, Lamar's a good side. And they're a good side. So we've got to be prepared to come out and from the kickoff, you know, concentration and get after them. You know, get after them. So I think, you know, both teams respect each other. And both teams want to beat each other. There's no doubt.
Hey, it's competition.
It is competition.
You can get fired up and get out there. How many goals do you want to go kick?
I just want to win. I just want to win. But and like I said, all of our players have been zeroed in, you know, this week, and concentration's been really good. Yesterday I thought was one of the best training sessions that we've had, which is awesome. And I thought our execution in front of goal yesterday was great. And so today, you know, just doing some walkthrough and finishing touches, and, you know, we're ready.
How long does it take for players that have been out, you know, they've missed a number of games, to kind of get back in sync with their teammates?
I mean, I think it varies, you know, with May. May was only out for a few days of practice and then back in. You know, Trinity's been out for 2 weeks. And so, like any, you know, with players coming back into the fold, we've got to manage those minutes. You have to manage the minutes. You know, you've got to manage the reps in practice. We've got to manage their minutes in games, you know, and then we've just got to fold that in and get them prepared. I mean, first game of the season, you know, we look at the entire picture. Look at the entire picture. So we just got to fold them in.
All right. Well, it's getting ready to be the really fun part of the season. Southland Conference play opening up. Lion women are going to be facing Lamar. 6 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock kickoff.
Opening kick tonight. Whenever they air this. And then we might be on Wednesday. We could be traveling in time, Coach.
We're about to get on the bus and head to Beaumont.
All right. Safe travels. We'll very look good. Forward to hearing great results from down there.
That's right, Charlie.
All right. Line up, everybody. They got to go. We do, too. But just for a minute, we'll be right back with more of Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We've got some more Inside Lion Athletics. Kind of a quiet week competition-wise. Jim's not here, so we can interview anybody we want. I got Dan Hung here with me. Dan's the GM of sponsorships and ticketing. Welcome to Commerce. I know you've been here a little while already, but this is your first full year.
Yeah.
So, man, it's good to have you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, Jim and I, we spent the last year in Seattle, Washington. So, Jim, when we got the green light to come back, I like to joke that Jim rescued us because both me and my partner are from Texas, so we're happy to be home.
There you go. Good stuff. There's so much going on right now, and you've got one part of it that just goes on and on and on, and that's the sponsorship pursuit. Tickets, are they kind of ebb and flow with the seasons? Which one you want to tackle first?
Let's talk sponsorships.
Okay, let's go there. Who is the official hotel? Who is, tell everybody, who are some of these people that you got signed up for?
Yeah.
Basically everything.
So I think, Charlie, the biggest thing I like to talk about with sponsors and everything is what our objective is. And our objective is to enhance the fan experience while delivering ROI for our clients. Mm-hmm. And so I think the best sponsorship agreements have aspects that where fans remember it, and then also where fans remember it, but they also get something from it. So the Hilton is a great example. The Hilton Rockwall Dallas Lakefront, the government name. That is that's where we've hosted Night of Champions the last 2 years, and it's an amazing property, right? And with them, we've now fully grown as a Division I program and graduated. No asterisks, as
yeah,
you might
yeah,
say,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And the Hilton came on board with us, and they wanted to just move up from just hosting Night of Champions to doing a lot more with our fans. Mm-hmm. So in our games, right, they're going to be giving away rooms at our games. At on our website right now, you can click on a special booking link to get a special Lions rate. So whether that's for, you know, our teams here, visiting parents, that kind of thing, or if it's for people who just want to take a nice staycation and hang out by the pool when it's hot outside. That they're one of those sponsors that we have now that not only are the brand, right? I mean, Hilton is what, global, international brand for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we were at SMU. I didn't see a Hilton sponsor there. So that is something that we're really proud of and really excited to get across the line as an athletic department. In the last 3 months, that's been a huge part of what our work has been.
That's excellent. I mean, that's what it's all about, is that engagement and them, you know, it used to be a long time ago, not some places it still is, but it's just like, oh, we're going to put your sign on the fence over here. That doesn't really cut it so much anymore, does it?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, you know, our game days, they're probably hot. I've never experienced one, but I've been outside. I can assume our game days are hot. And, you know, we looked for an HVAC company this year to do a cool zone for our fans at tailgate. So right next to, I mean, and this is something that happened before I was here, the Bud Light tailgate. That's a huge hit.
We
samples and try different things. And, you know, following that, there's also a cool zone you can immediately enter where you can get misted and water and fanned off and everything like that. And so all systems go, it's all systems go cool zone. It's great, right? And so just having that kind of brand marriage. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on the note of signage, it's funny. I think this is our sophomore, junior year in the Southland.
It's our
senior year in the Southland.
So rings, baby, that's what we want.
Our senior year in the Southland, and I say that because in our senior year of the Southland, or last year was our junior year, then we led the entire conference in our junior year in TV viewership. That's the size, right? That's the that's the reach. I'll add this though. We are at the bottom of the conference in terms of, like, donors, sponsors, that kind of stuff. So when I tell our sponsors this, what really is, it's that there's a ton of eyes and not enough being sold, right?
Yeah.
And that, for most of our sponsors that have come on, are what they're seeing is opportunity.
Exactly.
Right? And so, yeah, our signage, not just yes, it's a sign in the stadium, but if it's TV visible, then it's the most
it's
eyes.
Dynamic then.
It's the most eyes ever, right?
Yeah.
And so we're really and then a lot of the signage in the field house right now. Mm-hmm. It's going to graduate to the next yeah. event arena that we're building. And a lot of our deals, I would say 90% of our sponsors that have come on board in the last few months, they're all doing multi-years because they all know that whatever they add to the field house now,
pick up. That's right.
It's gonna be at that new event center too, and we're gonna honor it. And their prices will stay the same as their contract, but they're gonna be in a whole new venue.
Yes, yeah, that's a really nice carrot at the end of that stick. Good
yeah.
job. Well, tell us what else. Let's see. All right, hey, how about this? Because we've got our first home football game coming up soon.
Yeah,
finally we get to play one, but. Seating's a little bit different. You want to tell everybody a little bit about how the seating has changed and why they're going to like it better.
Yeah, so from what I understood in the past, it was just we had the chair backs, and then everything else was general admission. So you could sit wherever you wanted to sit. So I'll address the students first. If you still like that freedom, we will give you that freedom within our student section, the Lion's Den student section. Which, by the way, I'm looking for a sponsor for. And so but the Lion's Den student section, that is a area where you can flow, do, sit, wherever, right? No assigned seats there. Mm-hmm. The rest of the stadium is, we were out there on Friday. We were out there on Friday, and we were numbering it, and we were doing the rows and everything. And the rest of the stadium is totally, is numbered.
Okay.
And so... we have assigned seats for our fans. We shouldn't have any issues in terms of like, hey, someone is moving and migrating areas, that kind of thing. If there's, mm-hmm. we have assigned seats, no problem there. Coming to the east side of the stadium, we have the 903 section. So mm-hmm. the center of the east side behind the press box is all chair backs for the visiting team and such.
Right.
On the outside of that, 903. It's 903 because it's $9.03 online right now. And at the gate, it's about 15, but if you pre-purchase online, yeah. you get a really good price.
That's good planning.
Yeah. So
$6 that you won't be paying for the ticket, you can buy one of those Bud Lights, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then in the end zone, we brought it back, and I think it's here to stay. Mm-hmm. The end zone hospitality area. This is something that is awesome. So we have three tents in the end zone, mm-hmm. and then four loges, which are essentially, it's going to be 12 feet wide, four chairs, so lots of room to spread out. If you buy either one of those, you're going to end up getting, we have a bathroom, a private bathroom area. You'll be credentialed to be able to use that bathroom, to be able to use, we will be having food. We are looking for different food vendors for every single game. So right now, first game.
That's good talking to the community partners, too.
Oh, absolutely. We have so many restaurants and so many different partners locally that absolutely want us eating there when we get off of work. So
sure.
whether that's us going to Dos Laredos or Luigi's as an office, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have those different food vendors that we're partnering with that are going to provide food for everybody in that area too. And they're even going to be like waiters and stuff taking drink orders. And so you don't miss any action.
Man, you just celebrate a touchdown and there's fresh...
Yeah,
fresh beverage.
I ran into Christian and I was like, oh man, I should have told him that when he scores, he needs to give everyone a high five back there. And you know, that's one of those things where, especially in the tents, mm-hmm. those tents can fit up to 25 people, Charlie. So it's really it's an opportunity to host a huge party,
right?
In the south end zone of Memorial Stadium.
So what are the amenities? I mean, like, or they have TV screens for replays, or do they just watch the one at the other end of the stadium? Or I mean, what all do they have?
You would be totally like when we were out there doing a run through.
Yeah,
that screen on the other side of the stadium from the end zone, it feels like a movie theater. Like, it is,
and you've used it as one as well.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, with our Minecraft night. Yeah. So it really does feel like a movie theater back there because it's like you have a great view of what's going on the field. You also and then you have a great view of we have donors and mm-hmm. sponsors out there that are gonna see all their ads rotating through and everything like that. So it's a really good experience. I would love to see, on a personal level, I'd love to see some of the fraternity, sorority, alumni groups to mm-hmm. come together and host a party. I think that's a I think that's what college sports is about, right?
So when Avi starts flashing up all of the Lion pets that everybody loves to see up on the board, I mean, the band shouts out the name of the animal.
Yes.
When it posts, are you going to get like a vet or somebody like that involved?
You know what? Lion's pets, from the minute I got here, it's been my Moby Dick.
Okay.
Okay, Charlie? Like, it's... Avi talked so much about it and how much it was amazing. And I believe him, and it sounds amazing, right? Yeah. And then I talked to different sponsors about it, and it's like, we're always falling through. Like, there's always... The Lion's Pets, it's not... It doesn't have... I'm going to sell it, all right? This is my Moby Dick, right? I'm going to absolutely sell it. It's just... It's kind of a black mark on my record right now, honestly.
No. We're not that harsh around here.
But it absolutely should be a sponsored moment, and it will be for the upcoming season. You know, we have... But, like, things like a cool fan cam, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a fan cam itself, we can turn that into the all systems go cool fan cam.
Yeah.
So now when we show the fans, they take pictures, they have fun, and then all of a sudden, in that picture of them, there's also a picture of an HVAC logo, so they know who to call, right?
That's it.
And the same thing applies to our Domino's hungry fan of the game, those kind of moments. We really just want it to be a moment where, hey, fans can still have fun, but... Our brands are getting that ROI that they're looking for, right?
Okay. All right, let me ask you this, and we're running out of a little bit of time, but for soccer, for volleyball, what kind of activations, what kind of fun things do fans see that they hadn't before?
Well, if you've been to a Lion soccer game this season, you might have noticed our girls, they come out with a young group of kids now at our soccer game.
Bringing out the kid teams.
This typically, I would say this is a very unique sponsorship deal because it's not, most of the time, it's just a local youth team. And in our case, it is also a local youth team. But these local youth teams are teams that have played or won tournaments at a local soccer complex.
There you go.
Called Laredo Sports Complex.
Bring in the champions.
Yeah, and so that complex is actually deciding and inviting the different teams that are coming out there. Mm-hmm. And so in that whole moment, that national anthem moment is presented by them. So that's some special stuff we're doing over at with Ashley and such.
If you get the kids in, you know that they don't drive, so their parents do, hopefully.
Well, and you know that's a secret strategy that we got on the back end, Charlie.
Oh, sorry. That's giving away all the good stuff.
But and then volleyball, basketball, you've seen those video boards in there.
Oh, sure.
And I think one, it's good practice for all of us as an external team to be able to operate video boards of that scale. At the same time, it is next level for sponsored moments. Now we can really hammer home. It's not just like, hey, you know, some guy's handing out a pizza to someone loud in the stadium. It's a moment that's getting read, that's being seen, and it's all on the four screens. So wherever you look, those are happening.
The thing to me that really sells it in the field house are the ribbon boards.
Oh,
they connect everything. I mean, I've seen one that's kind of similar. They weren't all connected, but when it was, you know, the other team had to call a timeout, it was getting stressful. They start playing Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, and they've got flames just circling around on the boards. It was so cool.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those, like, Chicken Express this year. They were with us last year, and this year they're changing we're doing a foul shot challenge in basketball. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if you make 5 out of your 10 free throws, your whole row wins Chicken Express.
Ooh, and so expand the prize.
But that's only possible with video boards can show what's going on and everyone can get engaged in that moment. You know, last year I heard about a robotics night that we did.
Yes.
Where they had robots fighting, right?
Yeah.
So we've been talking about doing that again. I'm thinking, man, if I could see robots fighting on it, I don't know how many inches that screen is, but it's a big screen.
Yeah.
That would be really awesome.
Nice.
I'm like, yeah, maybe we should just do robot fighting and call that a ticketed sport for us.
There, you know, you That could happen. Yeah. It could be a thing. People do that right now.
Lots of ideas on this side.
They used
of the
to have,
table.
I can't remember what the show was. It was like Robot Wars or something.
Right.
This is like 15 years ago. That was fun to watch for a while.
Oh, absolutely.
Just get out there and.
Yeah, they have those robot fights in Vegas, and I'm like.
They don't gamble out.
Maybe. It's Vegas, right?
Yeah.
You can find someone that has odds on those robot fights.
All right. Man, hey, Dan, it's been a pleasure to meet you and visit with you, yeah. And I hope we get to do this again sooner than later.
Absolutely. Thanks, Charlie, and thanks, Lions fans.
You bet. Well, Lions up on the way. Folks, we'll see you in a minute. We've got more to go on Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Inside Lion Athletics. We have moved around a little bit. Now we're going to get some volleyball talk. Joe Morales and the women back from Colorado. It was rough out there, but it was building.
It was building. All the way up to this point, it's been building. So, we had a great time. We competed really well and got to see Colorado State. Saturday we played Notre Dame, Fighting Irish. Yeah, Fighting Irish, absolutely. Yeah. So
did you treat them the way that the Aggies did? Maybe not.
No, not so much. But we competed. We did really well. I love how the team is playing right now, against especially that kind of competition. We've been seeing it week in and week out right now. So I'm pretty pleased with what we're doing. So.
You've got a little bit of this still ahead with Iowa, but then you get to play one of our reclassification cohorts, the Lindenwood Lions.
Yeah, so we go up to we leave tomorrow, actually, and we're looking forward to playing Iowa. I mean, they're in the Big Ten, really looking forward to that game. It's I think the way we've been playing, we always have an opportunity, and I like that, even against Notre Dame, we were up 17-12, I believe, in the first set. And so we definitely have opportunities, and I think the kids are realizing that and understanding how good we're playing right now against some tough competition. So we're definitely excited about that.
Does the fact that you're going to get to go against one of our cohorts, does that game just by happenstance become kind of a big one?
Yes and no. Yeah, I think it does, just because we're in the same suit that they are in right now, and it's a game that also I think they're a good team. Also, they're a really good team, even from coming up from their classification. But it's I think this weekend is going to be a really good ignition or starter going into next week, I think. And I think that's the beauty about it. And so it's going to be a quick trip. I mean, we leave tomorrow. We come back Saturday. So we're doing Friday, Saturday. I mean, Colorado State was a little longer because we had a day in between. But we're definitely excited for it. And I think, these kids are – they're hungry for a win, but they're not down on themselves. Their morale is really, really high still. So they know what we can do moving forward.
All right. So when you get home from Iowa – on Monday, Abilene Christian will be here. And then on Thursday, Houston Christian and Southland Conference play is underway.
Yeah, came quick, huh? Really quick.
Aren't you glad to be opening at home this year?
Oh, yes. I mean, we've been traveling for a while since, the last last 2 weekends and then this weekend. And so being back and playing in our home court will be, and the fact that we're going to have 3 games at home, a whole week at home, so that's going to be really awesome. ACU is a return trip that they owed us from my first year. We weren't able to figure it out last year, so they're coming this year. So that's going to be really good. I think we're going to get back to, we've been playing these big teams, Iowa, Washington State, and Colorado State, Notre Dame. And so now, I'm competing really well. Now we're going to get back to playing, the Southland ball and our ball. And I think our kids are really excited of what they can do within those games. But it's going to be fun being at home. So our girls are excited.
Great stuff. And the home series, Houston Christian, and then Saturday, UIW is going to be here. That's kind of a big match.
It is. I think UIW has been really well. I've known Gabby. We we're in our same year, third year of head coaching. We were both assistants in the Southland prior to that, and so we're good friends. And it's going to be a good battle. We have a lot of San Antonio kids or San Antonio area kids, so it's always one of those things that's like you get the crowd going, and so We're excited to see that. I mean, they get to see the friends across the net, but at the end of the day, it's game time. And so.
So how much you're always focused on your squad, of course.
Right.
But the closer you get to conference play, do you start casting eye over their way?
I don't see film beyond the scores. I think every coach is like, "Oh, well, game to game," you know. But as every head coach knows, like, you peak. You want to see where you are. You want to see how you're moving forward, progressing, versus others. I mean, because at the end of the day, our league comes down to a conference play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come out to RPI. It's not going to come out. It's going to come down to conference play, tournament, win the tournament, and so. You wanna see where you are moving forward against your, you know, you kind of picking where you could be in the conference a little bit, especially this year, right? Because there's no preseason polls,
right?
So nobody knows who's one, nobody knows who's 12, you know. So you kind of, you know, every coach I'm sure is doing it's kind of figuring out, hey, I think we could be here, then we can get this and whatnot, and so very strategically. And. And then it gives you room to work and work within the parameters of where you're at and, you know, where you want to be. So 100% we do that. So.
You're going to find out real quick, or you may already have a pretty good idea, but given the way that we have seen other sports in the Southland
sure.
raise their bar up a little bit, is volleyball going to be another one of those?
It could. I think, you know, this year is going to be a huge turning point just for all the teams. I think, you know, a lot of schools lost people, whether it's portal or graduation. And so I think there's a lot of new faces on each team. And so, I mean, look at us. We got 5 freshmen and 3 transfers. And so I think there's going to be a lot of new faces on teams that it's kind of, you know, we know who you are, but it's all new at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could go either way. I mean, you can see some teams, you know, go down the pipe or move up the ladder. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But we're really looking forward to it.
You know, as a coaching staff,
yeah.
really when you scout somebody without, you know, really doing that dive that you get in, you know, and then that's the next game.
Yeah.
But – you know, you look at the others and, you know, you measure by height, you
right.
measure by, you know, hey, we recruited them
right.
or we didn't recruit right. them and look where they are now.
Yeah. You know, it's, I think everything is transitional. I think everything is, you know, I mean, there's some kids that I'm like, man, like I was recruiting them and kind of pass or maybe, you know, like you don't, mm-hmm. we don't have a crystal ball, right? We don't,
sure.
we don't know what the future's going to look, but we train the best we can with the kids that we want in our program. And so I think you see a lot of that within the recruiting realm, that there's a lot of kids that I was on the recruiting track with, and maybe for whatever reason it didn't work out, and they're on a conference team. But it still has a little bit of that respect of, like, you made it, and mm-hmm. I'm happy. I mean, every, you know, I mean, we only get 18 spots here, so it's not like I can take everybody, right? So you don't want to see a kid left out and they get somewhere else. That's awesome for them, right?
Right.
Just in their livelihood and their education purposes. But it's kind of that, like, you know, that mutual respect of, like, you did it and you're doing well and your work ethic, and now we got to compete against each other, and that's going to be awesome.
On the roster.
Right.
In football, they set a limit, 105.
Right.
And there was this big free fall of talent from the FBS on down through the ranks, as you would expect.
Right.
Is there anything like that in volleyball?
No, I think there is a little bit. It's it's trickling down a little bit with the 18-man roster, I think.
And before it was
open,
however many you wanted,
right.
Okay.
You get 12 and then whoever walk on, and now it's kind of – move to that 18-man roster. I think the, you know, the power fours are usually kind of revolving door between them, mm-hmm. between the those kids and the portal and whatnot. But then the kids that kind of get left on, like the, you know, you're looking at the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th kid that maybe gets bumped a little bit. Those are the kids that kind of trickle down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We take looks at them, and I think every school does. And, you know, if you're able to play at a top-notch program, a P4 program, then – you got to be good somehow. And so it's at that point, it just becomes, are you a fit for each institution or university? We look at, you know, want to harbor good people. We want good character here. We want studious kids that want to go on afterwards and not just, you know, drive us down. So, you know, all those things got to match a little bit. And then, you know, I say this with a lot of kids too. You can learn the game, but you got to learn the game within the institution. So, mm-hmm. like, all these kids coming in from high school, or even school, they got to learn a new system. They got to be able to play within our system and our realms and our parameters. And
for some of them, they have to learn there are more than one kind of system to attack
absolutely.
And defend.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has to be a fit that way. And so it's relearning everything all over again. It's like, just because you did one way doesn't mean it's going to be the correct way to do it here. You may have to adapt. We always say you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable a little bit. Mm-hmm. And those are the kids that we want, because I think those are the out-of-the-box kids, or the kids that you can really coach and get down deep into them, and they're not going to be frazzled a little bit. They're not going to be like, oh, I can't. Like, I only know this way. And got to be out of the box a little bit. I think a lot of coaches are like that. I think a lot of, just the training and the due diligence of recruiting. I mean, that's what it comes down to, you know.
When do kids in your sport start talking about, I'm thinking about being a coach?
Oh, gosh.
How many of them come in that way? How many of them leave? Because I think they probably have a better understanding by when they're ready to leave.
I think there are a few that come in that way that want to do it, maybe because they've had relatives that were coaches or,
they just come from one of those families.
Yeah, they just come from one of those families, But then you start – you get a little bit more push when they start seeing the end of the road a little bit of volleyball. Like, mm-hmm. my whole life has been like this. What do I do afterwards? I don't know anything else. And although they're prepared and their education is prepared, some of them want to stay in the game a little longer. Mm-hmm. Then you start talking about GAing and like, oh, maybe I want to do this. Well, I like this. And, and I think that's where it kind of sparks up a little bit. And there are a lot of GAs out there right now that have played, in the Southland or in other conferences and want to coach and mm-hmm. I really like this. And so it's cool to see that. It really is. The hard part about it is every time we try to have an alumni game, everyone's coaching, so we can't get them back, whether it's in high school, or college. You look at the Reese Fetty alumni, she's coaching at Farmersville High School now. Mm-hmm. That's the kid that came in. It's like, I want to teach, I want to coach, I want to be in the high school level. Mm-hmm. And if you look further down, her dad is doing that also. So they work together in the same high school.
Wow.
So it's really cool to see, and it's a great environment. But we do have those.
When did you want to be a coach? When did you figure out that?
When I realized I didn't want to work in corporate America.
I'll take some of that.
I mean, the 8 to 5 and the punching the clock and, wearing the suits. And, when it came down to that, I was like, no, I think I want to go back into this field and full steam ahead. I got into it a little later than most people do, but
I understand,
grinded it out and working that way. And a lot of young coaches just think that, hey, I want to coach college and I want to come in and coach. And they think it's just coaching.
Oh,
no, and then they realize there's a whole part of this business that they don't understand. And they're like, ooh, I got to do what? I got to do what? Yeah. And so that's when you really figure out if you want to do this job or not.
Great.
I love doing it. I love that I'm here. I love being a Lion. We have a great future ahead of us. I'm excited.
We're sure glad you are. Folks, we're going to let him go do his thing. They've got some volleyball to play. Thanks for tuning in. We've got Clint Dalzell still to go, so don't go away. More of Inside Lion Athletics coming back.
Go Lions.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. More of Inside Lion Athletics. We're saving the best for last. Football. It's
golf's not last. Golf's
not today.
Oh, okay.
Not today. It's football, baby. And the Lions are back out on the road. They're going to face the Grambling Tigers in Grambling, Louisiana. Eddie Robinson Memorial Stadium.
Legendary
coach.
That's right.
Got about 500 wins to go, coach, to catch them. So that's all it takes.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to live that long.
Hey, how's it been? You've had a week off. The guys have been able to get a few things worked on, they looked at and straightened out, and now they're ready to hit somebody else again.
Yep, getting the rust knocked off. That's the bye week. We practice some, but, it's still not that, adrenaline practice type. You've got a bye week. You don't have a game that weekend. Your just mindset's different as far as that's going. So mm-hmm. we're getting back into it. Second practice today, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted. It just taught me a few lessons on what I need to do more of and less of in practice.
Coach, let's talk about health. We might see Ron Pease next week. We know that's not a certainty, but we might see him. How's he coming along, and how's he look?
He's getting there. You know, we've got him throwing some balls on the field out in practice now. He's taking some snaps, doing a few 7-on-7 reps. So he's getting there. He's progressing probably faster than they expected, which is great news. You know, he is, probably a game time decision for us this week, but feel very confident that he'll play next week against North Carolina Central.
Erod has to be eager to get in one of these early FCS games, just right. Simply because he's been up against the big guys.
He has, and he's up for the challenge. He's done well. I'm just glad to see him healthy. You know, poor guys, just the last 2 years has been battling a lot of both ankles injuries, and you can see it. Both those games, he was electric with his legs. I mean, when they can't tackle him, you know, I like to see him against some opponents, you know, that of our own making. And I think we don't want him to run, but it's nice to see when things break down, he can.
Yes, scamper. We have agreed. Well, I think we talked a little bit last week. It's the best physically that Erod has looked out on the field in 3 years. So, yeah. You know,
he can sling it. Yeah. He's always been able to throw the football. Now with his legs back too, you know, he's truly a dual threat in many ways. And, you know, we've actually, you know, started implementing more runs for him that are on purpose, not scrambles. You know, a lot of times unscripted runs turn into holds, and we got one last week. I don't agree with the call, or last week, 2 weeks ago against Florida State, but you know that happens. You know, next thing you know, they get outside because the quarterback took off, and you know, all they do is see the arms out like this, and it's an easy flag.
How'd you like that head slap that guard for the Giants gave one of the Cowboy
yeah,
rushers?
Those are getting actually ridiculous. I mean, those
were
full
insane.
Out punches, even punching the ball out like they're doing. I don't know that's. I mean, guys are getting hit by those and not hitting the ball, so something's going to have to be done about that.
Yeah, and it's football is not helmet-shaped.
No.
How's Jack Tyler in the defense? Those guys have really probably taken the worst licks the last couple of weeks, and now they got a chance to start slowing people down.
You know, I thought at SMU they did well. I mean, they actually held them to 28 points. We gave up 14 on the offensive side, so did well against them. You know, obviously a little bit different story at Florida State. It definitely hurt losing your quarterback of the defense on the first drive and Kyrie getting ejected for a targeting. And it trickles down, you know. Next thing you know, you got your backup linebacker having to play Mike, and he doesn't, you know, see the things or put the guys in the right position as well. There's a reason guys are starters. And, you know, I know 77 points later, it feels like that was just – it was a nightmare to be a part of, don't get me wrong. But, man, it could have gone different. And again, I say different. You know, we're still talking high 40s, low 50s. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not 77. So, I'm excited for both sides and our special teams. I mean, we've done pretty well on our special teams, and now we're going against a like opponent. We'll see.
Special teams, we've got to give a tip of the cap. Those guys are, you know, Oslo saved the streak with that field goal against
right?
Florida State.
Yep.
And at the time, that's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And then Mayer with his punting, he's got some thunder in that leg.
He does. Yeah, we're pleased where we're at with our special teams. Heck, we protected well on punts, and they brought some heat on us, and we were able to hold up against, you know, some bigger, stronger guys. So I'm really excited to where we're heading in that aspect of it. I feel very confident to kick a field goal, when, you know, 50 and in, pretty comfortable with Oslo doing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are a weapon, you know, with our punt team, be able to pin them deep and get out of our own, you know, side of the territory and flip the field, which is very important.
You know, Mayer, he's kind of, in a couple of instances, he's outkicked his coverage, literally.
yeah.
And that wasn't something that was happening much the years before, so it's kind of an adjustment on that.
Yeah.
But not a terribly tough one to
No, we'll
to
make
figure
that
out.
Adjustment.
Yeah.
We'll make that adjustment. Well, I'm pleased. And you know, I think Coach McLean has done a great job of doing that and taking over the special teams. And he works hard on it. He deserves, you know, a big pat on the back for that.
Tell us about Grambling. What are the Tigers going to do when they have the ball?
They're spread out. They've got a tall quarterback who moves around. He's pretty athletic. Obviously, not as dynamic as the two we've seen before in SMU and Florida State, but does a lot of good things. You know, they're spread out. They can make some plays. They have some home run ability as well. You know, they don't, you know, necessarily just try to pound the ball, which is fits our defense. You know, we can cover and bring some heat and put some pressure on him. You know, and defensively, they are very they're deep defensively. They have a lot of guys back. They've brought in some guys, including one of ours, Warren Robinson, who we thought was graduating and went and played in an all-star game and then ends up playing for Grambling. I don't know how that all works.
It's all related to COVID, Coach. I don't know any other way to put that.
I didn't know you get to go play an all-star game and then go to another team. That seems kind of weird. You're just auditioning for
– Well, maybe he had a lawyer. You know, what's that quarterback at Penn State or somewhere trying to get his seventh year?
Right.
No, at Vanderbilt.
No, shoot, that whole Incarnate Word team was seventh-year group basically when they were – so well, I thought should have won a national championship my first year here, so our second year after that. So they, I think we're about done with all that COVID and the 7 year stuff.
I mean, it just kept going. What about the guys? What are they seeing? They got to be licking their chops a little bit for a even playing field.
They are. They're hungry. You know, we all are. The coaches too. We're ready to get a win, and we don't care how it happens. We just want to get that W under our belt, and so we can start getting some confidence, get some rolling, because obviously we've got a really good football team coming in next weekend. So very big game for us. I mean, I told him the other day, I'm not saying this is a must-win, but this is a must-win. That's kind of how I put it to him, and they all nodded and agreed, and we want to go, you know, put our best foot forward and go get us a W for ODT.
All right. Well, don't know any better way to end it on that note, so let's do it. Coach lines up everybody. Hey, ET and Grambling going head-to-head in Louisiana Saturday. The game kicks off at 6. Bet you can find some pregame coverage a little bit ahead of that.
Absolutely.
Always good to have you, Coach. Can't
it.
Wait to see you on
Same
Saturday.
Here. We're ready.
All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.